my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning and in Southwest Florida, also on Sunday mornings, as we've been doing for about 30 years here in this neck of the woods with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM. And also now with our new friends over at WAEC, Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air. Also online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends at WTMR, 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. Oh, what a joy it is to partner with them, that we can all just come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And so if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we're kind of in a mini-series within a series. We're talking about A Portrait of God, which is the big series. A portrait of God that I call how He is our, here it is, our abiding love. He is our abiding love. All through the scriptures, we see these marvelous portraits of God. And this particular one is where He has led us to focus on for the last few weeks. And so we're looking at 10 takeaways, and we've done six. So we'll be wrapping them up today for those of you that are note takers. All right, got that frog out of my throat. So if you want to make your way over to Romans chapter 8, we're going to get to number 7 of the 10 takeaways here in just a moment. But hey, just a quick reminder that all of these messages, all of these portraits of God are archived from this radio broadcast on my website, markpg.org. Markpg.org. Just go to the Portraits of God series after you click on broadcast there in the easy to follow and navigate website, markpg.org. You'll also find some videos if you click on videos, 3-minute versions of different portraits of God. There are also some articles on the Whispers of God that you can find. There are many other helps to deal with all of the twists and turns that we deal with in life and ministry. So, check it out over at markpg.org. Now, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters like this. I mean, we get to sit at Your feet. We get to look in Your eyes. We get to hear Your voice speaking to us heart to heart. And Lord, as we're looking at Your abiding love, how You are our abiding love, and You have a deep, deep love for us that, boy, we still are learning to receive more and more deeply into our own hearts. Well, Lord, I just pray that as we continue our journey and wrap it up today, that we'll catch a vision for how much You love us, more than we can possibly imagine. And to the degree we receive that, we're able to share that with others. Not with great effort, because it will then be coming from deep within. So, thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to take Your journey through Your love letters to see how You indeed are our abiding love. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. Well, my friends, as you're making your way over to Romans 8, let me just give you a quick 2-minute reminder and review of the first 6 of the 10 takeaways about how He is our abiding love. Number one, Jesus, our abiding love, shows us that, number one, loving Him is our top priority. Mark 12 puts it this way: the greatest commandment is this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then number two was how deep love leads to loving obedience. It's not that we have to obey to prove our love. No, when we really deeply love the Lord, it will lead to loving obedience. It's the obedience that is love-based, not fear-based or else. Number three, deep love flows from deep forgiveness. Oh, I love this passage in Luke 7:47, where Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little, loves little." My friend, to the degree we recognize how much God has covered for us with all of our foolishness that we don't even see, how he forgives us for stuff that we don't even see yet, oh my soul, the more we receive that deep forgiveness, the more we're going to have a deep love for him and receive the deep love from him. Number four, deep love is focused, not divided. Jesus said in Luke 26, no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And so we unpacked that together. Number five, deep love is selfless and sacrificial. Romans 5:8 gives us this classic portion of scripture, but God demonstrates his own love for us and that while were we yet sinners, rebellious, Christ died for us. Oh, that's a deep, deep love, my friends. Selfless, sacrificial. And then John 13, verse 34 and 35 tells us that deep love is the hallmark of true disciples. Jesus put it this way, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So that's why we're saying in number six, deep love is the hallmark of true disciples. Now, as we bring this home, let's go to number seven. It's over in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Watch for this, how the Lord, our abiding love, shows us that deep love prevails against all challenges. Oh, my friend, his deep love for us, because it's an abiding love, it sticks, it stays with you, it permeates you and me, it resides within us. That deep love prevails against all challenges. Let me take you to Romans 8, verse 35, and then skipping over to 38 through 39. Listen to this. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or trouble or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? I got to stop there for a moment. You know, it's easy to race over all of those words, but those are heavy-duty words. And when I think of what's happening in Ukraine, how they've been invaded by Russia, and they're trying just to survive, when I think of all the people in Sudan and so many other African nations, and also in Indonesia and some of those nations where Christians are being persecuted and killed, where is the love of God? Well, it's right there with them, in the midst of all of this. Picking it up again in verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is it saying? Well, in short, the Lord, our abiding love, is showing us that his deep love prevails against all challenges, hard circumstances, dangers, struggles, enemies, heights, depths of whatever we're experiencing internally or externally. The Lord is right there with us and will never leave us. He is the one who holds us close. He is the one who reassures us. And let me just be very, very careful in how I say this. We tend to think deep love means he's going to withdraw us from the circumstances or keep the circumstances from hurting us. Not necessarily. The thing is, the real truth about life is that it is very hard, it is very unfair, it is very unpredictable from our human vantage point. God allows free will to have its consequences, even the negative ones, but he is still there for us. And we can have a peace in the midst of the storms, knowing that He's holding us close, helping us deal with those hard circumstances, the tragedies, the unfairness of life. His love is right there. And the greatest protection is protecting us from becoming embittered and unreasonably frightened and despair. Like Jesus, we can go to Gethsemane and fall before the Lord and just put ourselves in His hands and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Knowing that we don't know how circumstances that are difficult and dangerous will turn out, but we don't have to, because whichever way they turn out, the Lord loves us and will bring us home to glory to be with Him. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, getting ready to go in and saying to the people that were throwing them in there and the rulers, throw us in there if you will, but our God is able to deliver us from these flames. But even if He does not, we will not bow down to you. You see, they were not hinging their devotion and love for God because of His deep love and devotion for them. They were not going to let go of that. And if the Lord had chosen to have them burn up and come on to glory, so be it. They're in a danger place. They were at peace with whatever outcome of the dangerous circumstance. That, my friend, is the evidence of how we can receive the deep love God has for us, not judge it or assess it by how circumstances are unfolding, and instead focus on the character and heart of God that His love letters tell us. He will never leave us or forsake us, and that His deep love will prevail in heart against all challenges, that we can still live a fruitful and joyful life even in the midst of incredibly difficult circumstances. A peace that surpasses all understanding. It's an amazing thing. Don't reduce God to some kind of celestial slot machine that you put in a coin of prayer and expect to get a certain result when you pull the handle. Just hang with Him. Abide in Him, and He will abide in you. And the deep love He has for you will begin to develop in your heart so that you can have a deep love for Him and for others and for life, even when the circumstances are hard. You might be dealing with financial difficulties, health issues going on and on and on, marital struggles, family feuds, church troubles, whatever they are. The Lord is there. Deep love prevails against all challenges when the enemy is trying to rob you of your peace. So, the Lord, our abiding love, tells us that deep love prevails against all challenges. Now we move to number 8, as this deepens even more. Number 8 is how deep love opens doors to much more. Yeah, let me take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Is that an amazing passage? There is so much God prepares for those who love Him in the spiritual dimension, in the invisible realm, in the depths of our heart. We can experience the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We can experience contentment, humility, and gratefulness when we just receive all of those things that God has for us if we'll just abide in Him. Deep love that He has for us that evokes a deep love back to Him, and that continuing to build and build and build opens the doors to far more than we're able to see and hear in this everyday world. But what a journey it is to go deeper into the Lord and discover far greater depths of His love than we can possibly imagine. I love telling kids' stories. When I was a pastor, I would have a children's sermon every Sunday. I'd have the kids come, sit at my feet, and I'd share a story with them that was related to the upcoming sermon for their parents. And that way, after I shared the story with the kids, that all this would just run up during the time we were welcoming guests, you know, and everybody was milling around to meet people. The kids were coming up. I'd say, well, while you're greeting each other in the name of the Lord, the kids are coming up with their story time. Come on up. And they just run up there, up on stage, and they sit at my feet all around. And I'd have a PowerPoint picture or something up, you know, and I'd tell a story about a little lamb or a waterfall or this or that and the other. And I would share stories with them, again, that would be related to the upcoming sermon for their parents. And then I'd say, I'd give them a little children's bulletin. And I'd say, okay, let me, after the story, I said, now you draw a picture of what you just heard. And when you go back to your children's church with your teachers, and we'll see us on the front cover of the bulletin next time, because this week we have, you know, Billy Smith's on one side and Sharon Gomez is on the other side. So those were great pictures from last week. You draw a picture, we'll see if you're on the front cover next week. I'd hand them to those, they'd love it, and they'd run out the door. And they draw a picture of that story that they just heard. And that gave them something for the parents to be able to use for their own life, because everybody loves a story, and be able to chat with their kids. So I love doing those children's sermons so much. And one of the ones that became a classic actually illustrated this point that I'm sharing with you right now about how deep love opens doors to much more, to the degree we go deeper in experiencing and receiving the love of God, that we will be able to return the depth of that love back into Him. I tell the story of little Fred the Fish. Fred the Fish lived just off the East Coast near New York, and he would swim near the shore from time to time, and he'd look up there at the bright lights of Coney Island and all the rides and all the booths and games and all the food that was there, like cotton candy and huge pretzels and ice cream and all those things. And he'd, man, that looks great. And so day after day, he would go and look at that and yearn to go. And one day he decided, I can't stand it anymore. I got to go. I got to experience this. And he flops out of the sea onto the beach. And of course, you know what happens. He can't breathe anymore. He's a fish who needs water to breathe. He can't breathe air. And he starts flipping around and he starts drying up and he starts dying. And thank goodness, though, these two little brothers and sisters, they came by, they saw him flipping around, oh my goodness, you know, and they picked him up by the tail, they put him back into the ocean, and off he swam, oh, getting that first breath of fresh sea water into his gills. And he goes and he tells his parents what just happened and how he flopped up on the shore to go get some fun out there at Coney Island and the carnival and all. And they said, oh my goodness, don't you understand that that's just, that is not for you. Well, I know that now. Well, we've told you that before. Yeah, but I didn't understand. And he almost died, but was grateful that he was saved. And his parents said, oh, son, don't hang around the shallow shores looking at the things on land that can kill you, even though they look like they'd be so much fun. They're not for you. Besides that, you're staying in the shallows, and the depths of the ocean are farther and deeper and more beautiful than you can possibly imagine. You can spend a lifetime trying to swim them all in the great seas of this planet that we call Earth. If you do that, that is where you're supposed to be. That is where you'll discover things far more deeply than you can possibly imagine, and not even come close to the death you almost had on land. My friends, believers were meant to swim in the depths of God's love. Don't stay in the shallows and have a yearning for the things of this world that say, we'll love you more, we'll give you more joy, we'll give you more excitement. Don't fall prey to those temptations of all kinds out there, the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, the even success. even money, even all kinds of things that want you to swim in them, as opposed to swimming in the love of the Lord. Don't waste your life in the shallows, yearning to flop on a beach. It'll kill you. Swim in the depths. Receive the depths of God's love. You know why? Because things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Swim in the deep love of God. The deep love of God opens doors to much more. Now we come to number 9. Classic portion of scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we'll actually get number 10 from there as well. But here's the first one. The Lord, our abiding love, shows us that deep love not only prevails against all challenges and not only opens the doors to much more, but number 9, deep love has many faces. Deep love has many faces. Don't reduce it to some, you know, just a basic Hallmark card or gooey daisies in the sun or something like that. Listen, here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, and look at the many faces that love has. Love is patient, kind, not jealous, does not brag. I mean, I'm already getting convicted about this. It's patient, it's kind, it's jealous, it does not brag, and it is not arrogant. And it goes on to give us many more faces of love. My friend, look for this in those who would lead you. And if you're a leader yourself, oh, my friend, I urge you, cultivate a deep love for the Lord. Receive the love He has for you. And guess what? Love will start coming out in these ways, with its patience, with its kindness, not being jealous, not bragging, not being arrogant. There's a softness to it, not a bravado. You know, even, I don't know, the word kindness to me really kind of helps us in this culture pivot toward what real biblical love looks like. I know it's one of many in this particular list, but because kindness is so rare in this harsh and angry day and age, when you see it, that's one of the faces, one of the hallmark faces of genuine love. And I hope you see that in the people you choose to follow, the people you choose to hang around. I hope you're cultivating that yourself. And then as we wind this up, deep love never fails. Deep love never fails. The deep love of the Lord, our abiding love, never fails. Pick it up in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 7 through 8. It says, love every confidence. It has every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's pretty straight up, isn't it? Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Boy, that dovetails beautifully against how, in number 7, deep love prevails against all challenges. Oh, my friend, I got to tell you the truth. You know, in my younger years, sometimes I would get so caught up in the pace of life and parenting and young husband, making ends meet, ministry, and wanting to be a success, all that stuff, that I wouldn't slow down enough so often to just receive the deep love of the Lord. And that life is not about fixing people. It's not about using people, manipulating them. It's not about accessing their gifts for your benefit and stuff. And we can fall prey to so many things like that. You know, the Lord just wants us to learn to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength as our top priority. And then the second commandment is like it, the second greatest commandment, I should say, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the overflow of loving the Lord. And loving the Lord is something we cultivate by simply receiving His deep love for us. If I were to ask you, do you think God is happy with you? that he grins every time he thinks of you, that you're the apple of his eye, a delight to him, or he's kind of tolerating you, he's kind of rolling his eyes at you, he's kind of raises his eyebrows yet again at you, and said, no, my friend, listen, we do mess up, yes we do, but he loves us more than we can imagine. As much as a mom and dad love their newborn baby who cannot take care of themselves and pooping on themselves and crying in the night, yeah, we can get a little tired at times, a little frazzled ourselves, but that doesn't mean we don't love them any less. That's the Lord with us. He loves us, and his love never fails. He is our abiding love. Never lose sight of that. Receive it, absorb it, let it flow through you to bless everyone around you. Well, Lord, we are just so grateful that you are our abiding love and that you love us more than we can possibly imagine. And Lord, I think that's something that we just don't get in our culture because we're used to having to perform to earn love. But it doesn't work that way with you. You love us already and you've got our backs and you want to heal us and you want to strengthen us and you want to use us. And that just blows my mind. Thank you, Lord, for your deep, deep love for us. May we respond in kind. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, be sure to check out markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in deep love with the Lord, your abiding love.